Jesus Christ. This evening, the meditation or the text that we're going to look at is going to look at how God receives sinners. We will also look at a text that is indeed very familiar to most of us. And we will see a parable that sometimes we don't focus on the end, but we look at the beginning. And we will see that Jesus is addressing this, that it would be looked at as whole. And that we will find out that God graciously goes out and looks and pleads with sinners to come home, to repent, and to believe his gospel. The text comes from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to start with verse 1 through 3 and then continue with 11 through 32. That's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. Reading in Jesus' name. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. He said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went away and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain to have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gaveth unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many of the hired servant of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy servant, or called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more am I worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son who has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Amen. Now the interesting part about this text is it comes in a series of three parables that Jesus tells because The Pharisees and the scribes are upset because sinners are coming to him. And he is now eating with them. And of course, if he is a good prophet, he should absolutely know that you don't gather those people around you. You don't sit with them. You don't even bother with them. They're sinners. And then comes the parable of the lost sheep, in which a certain shepherd had 100 sheep. One gets lost. He leaves the 99 in a safe place and goes and searches the wilderness to find the one that is lost. And then the lost coin, in which the woman loses one of her coins and she tears her whole house apart to reclaim that coin. And now this follows. A man has two sons. And that's really how this starts out. And there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Give me a share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Now it's very interesting as you look at this, because the younger son, what he does basically in this text is ask that his father would be dead. He comes to this point and says, I want my inheritance now. And the only way to receive that inheritance at this point is that his father would be dead. And what does the father do? He divides. More than likely giving a third to the younger son and two-thirds to the older son. And he gives that. And of course, we understand then what the younger son does. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a far journey into a foreign country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living, in riotous living. Now, a lot of times, for those of us who have strayed in our lives, we kind of stop and go, well, that's me. We identify with that. Because we understand that there are times when we've done things in our lives that are not right, not proper, and that are sinful. And we come to a point in our lives, in some ways, that we end up not caring. And that's where this man was. Until the famine arose. The famine arises, and he, of course, has squandered all his money. He has no more sustenance with him. And so he hires himself out to a Gentile. Now again, Jesus is telling this story to Jews. Well, you would never join yourself as a Jew to the Gentiles. You would never do that. It is improper. And so, he also gets the job of feeding the pigs. Now, feeding pigs is not just a dirty job today. It was an unclean job then. This is one of the worst things that you could do. That you would now join yourself with a Gentile and then start slopping pigs. And he's so hungry, he'd just as soon eat what the pigs are getting. But then when he comes to himself, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Now the interesting part about this is he talks about the hired servants. The hired servants were not considered to be part of the household, like what a slave would be. A slave in this time would be considered to be part of the household, and the master would have to care for all of his well-being. A hired servant is someone who he would go out onto the streets and hire for the day and pay wages. But this master had absolutely no bond between them like he did his slaves. And so the son says, I just want to be a hired servant of my father. I don't even want to be in part of his household. And so basically now he's going back to the Father with his own agenda. That here, this is how I can make it to survive. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So now he's practicing the speech. The speech I can probably remember practicing when I had sinned against my parents. Okay, Mom, Dad, I did this, and I'll never do it again. And you practice those things. And I can understand this because those things are very close to most of us. That we would now practice something that we're going to try to make sure that we get this out as quickly as possible and get this over with. And so he goes with his plan in his head to figure out or to go and to face his Father. But while he was still yet a long way off, his Father sees him. And he felt compassion on him, and he ran to him, embraced him. And the thing we have to remember about this, in Jewish culture, you would never get up and go see a son that sinned. You would never run to them. Good Jewish men didn't run. That was for kids. They walked. They were dignified. They had their station. But the Father runs to his son and embraces him. Before the son can even get the words out, the Father is hanging on his neck. And the son then tries, I got to go through my spiel. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The father is not even listening. The father is coming, and he is now embracing him into his household. He's putting the robe on him that makes him part of the household. He's now putting the ring upon his finger, which now is the seal of the household. He's restoring his full station. And put shoes on his feet. Take care of. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this is my son, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And this is the thing of this whole parable that talks about that when one sinner repents, there is great celebration within heaven, and God is pleased. And now comes the flip side of this parable. Because really it addresses most of us at one point in our lives or the other. The older brother was in a field and came and drew near to the house and heard the music and dancing. And he called out to see what these things meant. And the servant said, your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Here we have the older brother, the one who had followed all the rules, had done things correctly, had made sure he stayed in the service of his father. But we will find out that he is just as selfish as the younger brother. Because he comes and now he demands something of God. He's not serving out of love and out of compassion for the Father. He's serving out of obligation that he would make sure that he got his share too. Look, these many years I have served you and have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends, that you wouldn't give me even a young kid that I could celebrate, a minimum celebration in the Jewish world. And so the brother is basically going, listen, I did all this for you. What are you gonna? Why didn't you do nothing for me? And so now that service has come hinged upon something. That if I do something right and proper, well then God is going to bless me. And the father, even though his son is absolutely in the wrong and sinning just like the younger son, leaves the celebration. Leaves the celebration and all that is going on there and goes out to try to draw his older son back. He leaves. And you see, that's what happened for us in the person of Jesus Christ. God left his heavenly home, comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, allows himself to be humiliated by mankind, takes upon the sin of the world, and goes to the cross and sheds his blood for our sin. And this parable, Jesus is trying to explain to us, and especially to the publican, or the Pharisees and the scribes, listen. You are loved by your heavenly Father. And even in your religious stuff, you're messing this up and you're a sinner, I'm calling to you. And tonight and throughout the rest of this weekend, God will be calling to us through His Word, by the power of His Son, through the proclamation of that Word, that we would come back to the feast. That we would believe indeed that our sins are forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the message. Not that just a sinner that goes out in riotous living can come to the Father and the Father will receive him, but even us. Who think at times because we're following the rules that somehow God owes something to us. Because even in our religiosity, we can become sinners. When all of a sudden it stops being about serving a God who has loved us before we even knew Him. For God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And this, it is fitting that we would celebrate and be glad, for your brother who is dead is alive, he was lost and is found. God is calling all of us back. Both, as we'd say it, the prodigal, the younger son, but also the older son. That we would realize in this flesh, everything we do is tainted by the flesh and the sin that is in it. Realizing as Paul would come, who is going to save me from this body of death? Thanks God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for this night, for this continuation of the convention. And Father, we ask indeed that you would continue to speak to us by your word, through your servants, that you would draw us closer in unity and fellowship together, that you would be with us by the power of your Holy Spirit, opening our hearts and our minds to that word, anointing all the speakers as they proclaim that word, and that, Father, everything that we do would be an honor and a glory to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all that you continue to do. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.